This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by NK Seeds. NK Corn and Soybeans offer growers unique choice and greater value, helping to deliver maximum whole farm ROI potential.
One more week until midterms. Brazil has a new leader, and this guy sounds an awful lot like our president. Stocks are higher, that has commodities lower. Oh, and guess what? Harvest is still going on, while China says it's going to lower the amount of soybean meal and protein in its livestock feed. Doesn't it feel like we're on a bridge to nowhere?
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Hey, everyone. Welcome. I'm Clinton Griffiths, sitting in the chair today for Chip Flory. He's out on Panda Watch, day five. We're waiting on Chip to send us word back to the show whether or not he's got a new grandbaby in his arms. So, you know, wishing he and his daughter lots of luck today. So that is a big moment in every grandfather's life, so we're hopefully he can concentrate. He said he's going to listen to the show, so maybe we'll get a call and a report from Chip at some point today. But you know, his attention needs to be elsewhere. We got a great program today. You know, Michael Clark's going to be here. We're going to talk about some of the goings on. We're going to discuss what this winter forecast is or isn't as we head toward. Oh, I'm not looking forward to that. As we head toward winter, hopefully nobody's looking forward to it. We still have harvest going on. We got to get that done. Rob Robertson, he's the Nebraska Farm Bureau Chief Administrator, is going to be here and talk about a new health plan that they're offering in Nebraska. Healthcare, such a big issue for so many families, especially in rural America. It's always a challenge to figure out that piece of the family puzzle. Exactly how do you pay for it? Where does it come from? They have some new ideas. We're going to talk to them about that. Of course, we'll check markets. And our good friend Machinery Pete is here to talk everything machinery. Take your calls. Of course, you can give us a call at 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 284-5524 if you'd like to come and join the conversation. Ask Greg a question. Pick his brain. The guy's just a genius when it comes to things happening in the machinery world. But before we get to all that, let's turn it over to Tyne Morgan, sitting right here to my right, to discuss the news. Tyne, did you have a good weekend? Was it busy?
I did, but before we get to the news, more yes. important news, since Chip is waiting for this grandbaby to come,
yes.
what do you think they're going to call him? You know, that's because right now...
You mean name-wise?
Yeah, because, yeah, yeah. you know, it was
always... Or they're going to call Chip. What's the baby going to call Chip?
Right. Because grandpa, granddad, you know, those are kind of the traditional
Pop,
ones.
Po-po.
But now it's all different kinds. What do you, Poppy? I mean, what do you think they're going to call him?
I don't know. C-paw? Chip-paw?
Ooh.
Chippy?
No, I
don't know. Maybe people can send us some suggestions. Find us on Twitter.
Yeah, what should AgriTalk. This grandbaby yeah. call Chip? Because, you know, my daughters... Even when you say, okay, we're going to call him grandpa or granddad, sometimes it comes out of nowhere. And so my girls call my dad Gus.
Oh.
I do not know where okay. that came from. But one day, Kinsler started calling him Gus, and it has stuck ever since.
That sticks, and it seems appropriate. I like it.
I do not know where it came from. But yeah, send us on Twitter. We want to know what Chip should be called.
Yeah, flat Chip.
And only appropriate. Only appropriate names, please.
Yeah, that's, keep them yes,
Twitter,
please.
Keep them PG.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And if anybody has a picture of Chip running in his cross-country meets in high school, we'll take that as well. All right, go on, Tyne. Tell us.
He was in cross-country?
He was in cross-country. He had a coach. Yeah, he told us about it last week. It's amazing. All right, go ahead. Tell us what's going on in news.
I don't know if I can beat that news. All right, well, President Trump spending part of his weekend at the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. Clinton, we talked about this last week, but the president on point during his speech to the 91st annual meeting of roughly 70,000 students, the president offering advice, quote, "You know that success only comes through hard work and perseverance. You know that very well. You know that nothing compares to the satisfaction of an achievement earned and built with your own sweat, your own skill, and with your own two hands."
That's good advice.
Very true. Very true.
Good advice.
Because people can get you through the door, but it's hard work that's going to get you the rest of the way. Well, he's also asked for more time on the farm bill mm-hmm. and says that they're fighting to keep work requirements for some SNAP benefits. President also addressing the trade war as well, saying he didn't want to use the word war. Well, the president spoke about the trade war with China, and now that may have a longer tail. China's Feed Industry Association approving new standards for feed for pigs and chickens, lowering the protein levels in pig feed by 1.5 percentage points and for chickens by 1 percentage point. The government says these new standards would lower China's annual soybean consumption by 14 million metric tons, a drop of around 13% from 2017-2018.
Yeah, and I think we knew that was probably likely. We've been kind of anticipating them doing this. You know, it's something that they haven't changed in 20 or 30 years, the amount of protein in their feed. Is that enough to have a massive impact? But it could linger. Once they change it, it may stay.
Yeah, and the ministry, Clinton, did not say when the new standards would take effect, but speaking of consumption, the consumption of feed may be down anyway. There's a new African swine fever case at larger Chinese hog farm. China's Ag Ministry on Sunday reported a new outbreak of African swine fever in the central Hunan province. This was at a larger farm with roughly 7,700 pigs, the ministry detailed. Since the outbreak began in early August, though, Clinton, China has culled around 200,000 hogs, or at least that's what's been reported.
Right.
That 200,000
right.
head have been, that's been around for a few weeks now, so I imagine it's much higher than that. We don't have the exact number, but some saying that the outbreak is being grossly underreported. And, you know, like I said, it's that 200,000 number that's been around for a while. We do not know how that's going to impact their feed consumption. We do not know how it's going to impact overall numbers, but it definitely has everyone on high alert.
Absolutely. Well, Brazil electing a new president over the weekend, and their real strengthening an early trade today. So that could be a new dynamic, and we'll see how this new administration factors in to this whole trade dispute and how things go. Time, appreciate the news. Thank you so much for jumping in here. All right, let's turn over to Michael Clark with BAMWX. Michael, it's been kind of an interesting few weeks. We've had wet weather. What about drier weather as we get into the rest of this month and start a new one?
Well, depends. If you're in the western belt, gets a little bit drier. If you're in the eastern grain belt, Ohio Valley, it gets really wet over the next 2 weeks. Probably 200 to 300% of the normal rainfall the next couple weeks in the east. Yeah.
And what system's driving that? Is it these systems out of the Gulf of Mexico, or?
Yeah. So we're basically getting in on a nice flow from the Gulf. We get a couple of southerly systems that'll bring in some heavy rain for sure.
As we get into the rest of this winter, I know I've seen some mixed discussion about as far as the forecast goes for the next few months. You know, I think NOAA came out and said it's going to be drier and warmer. Our meteorologist here on the show has said, you know what, I think we've got warm water over near Alaska. That's going to push this jet stream into the middle of the country. He's saying it's going to be colder and wetter. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to side with him a little bit. I wetter is a risk. I definitely think the further south you go, the wetter you can be. I think there could be some drier areas in the Corn Belt over the winter. But in terms of cold, I definitely think we favor a colder winter the further south and east you go. So
okay.
I think, you know, there's a risk the northern plains and the Pacific Northwest could be warm, and then it could be colder elsewhere. So maybe a big winter storm track across the Midwest into the Ohio Valley worth of some big snows can be to whereas maybe normally they'd be in the northern plains. That could be maybe a shift in storm track a little bit.
Yeah, that would be interesting. El Nino factoring into any of this yet? Do we know?
It is, definitely, yeah. We definitely think a weak to moderate El Nino is in the cards, and if that's the case, that would favor the colder risks for winter as well.
All right, Michael Clark, BAMWX. You can follow him on Twitter. Hit their website, BAMWX.com. Thank you so much for the insights. We're going to be right back with more AgriTalk. Rob Robertson talking about health insurance out in some of the rural areas out in Nebraska. We've got Machinery Pete here and the folks checking markets from Pro Farmer. Stick with us. More AgriTalk just a second.
Grow growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions. Control your destiny in a challenging dairy industry at Farm Journal Media's Milk Business Conference, November 5th through the 7th in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. Register today to network with fellow dairy owners at milkbusinessconference.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF LibertyLink system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with LibertyLink and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Today we're talking to Joe Bowman, Corn Product Manager for NK. NK recently released 32 new hybrids for the 2019 growing season. Joe, what sets NK corn apart from the other brands?
I think it really goes to that germplasm and the diversity in our germplasm that we have there. So this allows us to look at individual geographies throughout the United States and select products that work well for that geography. It's easy to look for products that cover a wide portion of the United States, but oftentimes some of those toughest acres, and in years like this, the acres that help you determine if you're going to make money or not, might be a quarter or 20% of your farm. So making sure we have hybrids that fit all types of acres, as well as making sure we're hitting the right agronomics that growers are needing. So if you look how, conditions have changed over the last 10 to 15 years, such as pests such as Goss's wilt, where it was primarily a Western Corn Belt issue in Nebraska, and then it's really came into North Dakota over the last several years, making sure we're staying ahead of the curve so growers aren't having to spend a lot more money trying to manage a pest that wasn't really on their radar 5 or 10 years ago.
That was Joe Bowman, Corn Product Manager for NK. To learn more, visit nkcorn.com.
We're agriculture. We feed the world. And it's what we love to talk about. Join the conversation.
Hello and welcome back to AgriTalk. Clinton Griffiths in the chair for Chip Flory today. Health insurance, it's a pretty big ticket item for most families, and it can be a real source of stress, all the right words to say about it. I mean, it can be a tough decision for a family. In fact, it can have major impacts on the way that families in rural areas really live their lives. And I think we've been searching and looking for solutions to this for a long time. And I don't know that we have all the right answers just yet. I know in rural areas, it's health insurance, it's hospitals. I saw a new study that said since 2010, nearly 90 rural hospitals have shut their doors, and hundreds of other hospitals are at risk of doing the same. We passed the Affordable Care Act a few years back, and I saw a headline this morning that says for the first time, those premiums are going to be down 1.5%. It's the first time that premiums have actually fallen. So all of these things work into this conversation that we're continuing and constantly having about how do we care and provide health insurance for our families and for the people that we love the most without going broke. without having to spend too much. We're joined this morning by Rob Robertson. He's the Nebraska Farm Bureau Chief Administrator. And Rob, this is just a big issue. Thanks for being on AgriTalk.
Yeah, good morning, Glenn. Thank you for having me. Yes, very big in agriculture in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I know, my folks live out in New Mexico, and, we've got lots of family and friends that are in agriculture, and oftentimes the solution is someone going to town to get a job to help provide health insurance while the rest of the family tries to stay on the farm or the ranch and take care of business.
Yeah, I can't think of any other sector than agriculture and the farmers and ranchers out there that are negatively impacted by these high costs of health insurance. I mean, we're hearing stories from our members of, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 a year premium. And that, almost becomes their highest cost item on that farm or ranch.
Wow.
And so, spouses working off the farm or different cost structures, it's just a really large blow to the family farm right now.
And I think it also, and you tell me what you think, but I think it also limits who can come back to the farm, because there's a lot of young families with young kids. And a lot of times it just seems to me, in having my conversations with people about my age, that, I'd love to go back to the farm, but I've got no way to get health insurance. And that's a limiting decision. I mean, they could work around not making a lot of money if they could be back on the farm, but the health insurance cost almost keeps them from going.
Yeah, absolutely. We hear those stories all the time. And we held some regional meetings this summer with our Farm Bureau farmers and ranchers. And literally families and spouses would get up with tears in their eyes talking about how son couldn't come back or how they have to work in town. And that hurts father because he has to do everything on the farm alone. And so it's a very emotional decision point for family farms and has a real negative impact on some of the future out there.
I was talking with the folks over at FarmAid, and that organization's been around since the crisis in the 80s, and they were telling me about how calls to their 1-800 FarmAid, phone number has changed through the years. And, over the last 5 years, one of the calls that they get most often is for a medical bill. And people have a hospital or a medical bill or a health insurance need, and they're having to choose between health care and whether or not they can stay on the farm. And that's a tough decision to make.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of times that medical bill is sitting out there because they made the decision not to spend that $35,000 a year
right.
for health insurance, which is really unfortunate on either side. It's kind of a no-win situation, and it's a gamble. And those farm families that have those medical problems crop up, it's just a big blow. So, yeah, I can believe that was a call or several calls for
yeah.
them.
So you guys are doing something different. You've decided that this is a big enough issue that we need to take this head on. What's going on? What's your organization doing now?
Well, we've worked about 2 years on a project to create an association health plan within Nebraska Farm Bureau, and we finally got it launched. We're currently in enrollment from October 1 through December 1. So it's the concept of association health plan mm-hmm. is it's a large group plan, basically, as opposed to a small individual unit that you're trying to insure. So the idea of having a large group of our members then has a less risky, more stable pool where the prices can be lowered. So
sure.
that's what we're offering.
So as you start talking about this, how did that come up of, we ought to get into the health insurance business? And that seems like a pretty big step to take.
Well, yeah, for a farm organization, that's not really what we do. But, I remember 2 years ago sitting at the Nebraska Department of Insurance office and saying, what can we do to help these farmers and ranchers? And they said, well, we have this really stray provision that would allow discretionary groups to be formed in associations. My eyes just lit up. And from then on, we went forward to put this thing together. And, what should be different? 3,000 farmers and ranchers in a group or 3,000 workers at a manufacturing company, they
right.
get a good product, but the 3,000 farmers and ranchers don't. That's why we want to get them into a large group.
Yeah, so. Give them a chance to have something
right.
that they can afford. How, as you're putting it together, what was the biggest challenge of trying to get this whole thing up and running?
There's just a lot of regulatory and legal hurdles to get it up and running. The main hurdle is you got to these association health plans have to stay compliant with the U.S. Department of Labor ERISA laws. And I know that's kind of complicated, but ERISA runs all your benefits that are offered through employer plans. And anyway, to stay in compliance with that, there's a lot of legal documents and a lot of structure that had to be set up in order to make the association health plan legal and compliant for the long term.
Do you feel like it's ultimately going to lead to something that's more affordable and has led to something that's more affordable and it's going to make a difference? Do you feel good about it?
Yeah, we think so. I think, on average, farmers and ranchers stand to save about 25% on their health insurance premiums this year if they join the association health plan from what was compared to on the normal federal marketplace exchanges. We think we partnered with the carrier Medica. We think once Medica gets several years of experience and history underneath their belt, that those prices will come down even further.
Oh, wow. Great. What's been the reaction? What are farm families and ranch families telling you guys?
First day out of the gate on enrollment on October 1, we had a farm family join, and their health insurance premiums went from $24,000 to $17,000. They saved $7,000.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot of joy for people that qualify. But there are qualification standards, and so, A, you got to be a Nebraska Farm Bureau member,
sure.
And then B, you have to show that you're a farmer and rancher or agribusiness because you have to be in the same line of business with association health plans.
Okay. Have other farm bureaus from around the country seen what you're doing, and are they asking you questions?
Yeah, I suppose about a half dozen to 10 farm bureaus have talked to us here at Nebraska Farm Bureau and tried to get information on how we put this together. There's a lot of farm bureaus and agriculture groups in general just trying to work on solutions and options. And of course, this is one. There's other ones out there as well. So.
No. Now, some of the issues with pre-existing conditions and coverage like that and being compliant with the Affordable Care Act, and how is all that working for you guys?
Well, that was part of our regulatory hurdles because we wanted to stay compliant with the Affordable Care Act. And so regardless of their status of health, if they have pre-existing conditions or not, we accept them into this group. And so that was a pretty big deal for us because we want to make sure this association health plan stays there for the long term. And so that's how we kind of went through it. With the idea of taking pre-existing conditions.
Now, can folks that are not in Nebraska be on this plan or no?
No, it's just for
members that are in Nebraska.
Who are within the state of Nebraska, yep.
All right, interesting. Well, so it sounds like you guys are off and running. You're in enrollment now. What's your hope? What's your goal here? What are you hoping to accomplish, 5 years down the road?
Well, serve our farm and rancher members and lower their cost of health insurance and hopefully provide a better network of coverage for our farmers and ranchers on health care. Hopefully we get, 3,000 to 5,000 members into this group. The larger the group is, the more risk it's stable it is, so you can price it lower. So I just hope it grows, and I hope we help cut the cost of health care for farmers and ranchers.
Rob, thank you so much for sharing the story of what you guys are doing. I think it's important work. I think you're right. It is one of the biggest challenges that our producers are facing in their home lives. We know it's a big stressor. So thank you for your work. Thanks for sharing the idea. Hopefully this catches on and we can continue to see this spread around the country because, I think if we can sort some of this health industry out, if we can figure out a way to provide this affordably to our farmers and ranchers out there, we can make a big difference. All right, stick with us. More AgriTalk coming up in just a minute. Thanks, Rob.
It's Digging Deeper with the Mosaic Company, the show where two agronomy experts take your questions about crop nutrition. Here are your hosts, Kurt Woolfolk and Ross Bender, senior agronomists from the Mosaic Company.
Hi, this is Kurt.
And this is Ross. And today we're answering the questions you sent us on social media.
Here's one from a corn grower in Indiana. How can I be sure all my crops are getting the necessary micronutrients from the fertilizer I'm using?
Micronutrients are called micronutrients not because they have a micro impact on yield, but because they're needed in micro quantities. When each plant needs some, but not a lot, uniform distribution of those micronutrients becomes very important.
Through fusion technology, MicroEssentials combines four key nutrients into a single nutritional balanced granule for season-long fertility.
By delivering uniform distribution, MicroEssentials ensures balanced nutrition at the plant level, making it easier for every plant to reach its full potential.
Have any questions you want Kurt and Ross to tackle? Tweet to us at MicroEssentials on Twitter or send us a message on Facebook. And to learn more about smart crop nutrition, visit microessentials.com.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
All right, Markets Now. We've got Brian Grady on the horn. Brian, how are markets moving today?
Well, Clinton, we saw some price strength overnight, but once we've gotten to the daytime session, things have headed south, and soybeans are trading about a nickel lower right now. Corn is mostly about a penny lower. We just ran out of buyer interest in there. I think, you know, looks like the first half of this week especially is going to be open for harvest activity, and guys are trying to get as much out as they can. That's putting some weight on the markets here. There are some rains moving in, are expected to move in later on in the week, and then next week's expected to be wetter again. So guys are going to go as fast as they can. And I can tell you from around here in eastern Iowa, harvest progress has been pretty rapid over the past week.
What are we thinking on yields? Have we lost these top end yields out of these crops?
Well, quality is the sure. biggest concern. You know, what USDA does with yield, it's still harvested. Keep in mind, it's still a yield. It's just not doesn't have necessarily the quality it needs to coming out of the field. So that's probably the biggest question in terms of what happens. I don't think it has a whole lot of yield impact. There was some yield loss, and that'll probably be reflected in the November reports, but probably not as much as some anticipate.
Real quick on the livestock side of things.
Sure. On the cattle market, we did get the cash trade last week. Friday, 114, 115. You know, that's the first time in 6 weeks that we've seen it out of that 110 to 111 range. That's providing some support to the October contract. And then the hogs, they're sharply higher in the winter month contracts. African swine fever there, and the discount that the December contract holds to the cash index.
Always dynamic. Thank you so much, Brian Grady. We're going to keep an eye on it throughout the rest of the day. Stick with us. More AgriTalk and Machinery Pete coming up.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
We're AgriTalk, powered by Farm Journal, the name you've trusted since 1877.
Well, welcome back to AgriTalk on a Monday. It is so good to be with you. I'm Clinton Griffiths, host of Ag Day, sitting in for Chip Flory today, who's out on Panda Watch 2018, waiting on his daughter to have their first grandchild. So excited for them. We're wishing them the best of luck, thinking about them, of course. But Machinery Pete joins us now. If you'd like to give us a call, as always, Greg will take your call, 855-4TALK-AG, 855-284-5524. Whether you call or not, Greg's always got just a whole host of great information and great stuff to discuss. Greg, how's it going out there in your neck of the woods?
Hey, pretty good, Clinton. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Doing really well. You know, starting another week here, and you know, we're just about to that kind of time of the year where we start talking holidays, Greg. And I don't know if you've started thinking about gift choices, but you know, I don't know if you've already got something that you're hoping to get this year. What's on your wish list?
Well, piece of advice for all listeners out there, particularly young listeners, do not be like Machine Repeat in that I'm a procrastinator, Clinton. That's my Achilles heel. And so when it comes to the gift, giving. I sort of wait for the last minute inspiration, but honestly, I hadn't even thought about it today, but thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, we're racing toward that time of year where we're going to have to make some decisions here. And I'm thinking some things maybe that that we shouldn't get. You know, when I was young, it was my sister's birthday, and so I got her a cap gun for her, you know, for her birthday, thinking,
I like it.
You know, when she's not using it, I'll get to use it. So, you know, some words of advice out there. Don't get your wife a fishing trip and tell her, I'm going to go fishing and then bring the fish back for dinner, because that's probably not going to work out very well either.
Yeah, steer clear of that one.
Steer clear. Hey, what's Pete's pick of the week? What's going on this week?
Machinery Pete's pick of the week is brought to you by MachineFinder.com. Where can you find the most comprehensive inventory of John Deere certified pre-owned tractors, combines, and sprayers? MachineFinder.com. Sometimes the best new addition to your fleet isn't new.
That surprised us both. Go ahead.
Hey, Clint. Yeah, usually with Pete's Pick of the Week, I tend to report on something that's sold in the last few days, kind of hot off the presses. But we're going a different direction today. We're gonna focus our Pick of the Week on something that is selling today. And folks maybe saw my blog on it last night, but the first bi-rotor combine, kind of a piece of ag history, is up for sale today.
Interesting.
On the Mark Underwood Farm Estate Auction in Burr Oak, Kansas. Now, this is a sale by Walters Auction and Real Estate. There's no online bidding, but in my blog, which you can find on machinerypete.com, there's a link to the Walters Auction website and some great pictures of this thing. And quite a story behind it, Clinton. Back in, I think it was 1978, Mark Underwood and his cousin, Ralph Lockergren, kind of set off on this quest to build this bi-rotor combine. And I believe the first step they took in 78 was taking an old would have been new at the time, International 1480 combine and kind of retrofitting it. And that original machine is on the auction today also.
Huh,
but the first and only production model, that first bi-rotor combine, they call it the XBR2. It's yellow. It's got it had tracks on it. Late 70s, and again, that bi-rotor, first one made, and an incredible amount of chatter about this. I know folks from all over the country interested in it and interested in buying it, and really no precedent on what this thing could be worth, Glenn. So I think
that's what I was going to ask you. What would something like this be worth?
It would just be completely guessing, because it sort of depends on the buyer, what they want to, you know, are they going to display it? Which it would be a completely valid thing to display. There was actually a book written about this combine back in the day, Clinton. It was called The Dream Reaper. These two Kansas cousins and their vision on making a better combine. And in the blog last night, folks, if you want some great info on this combine, the backstory, a number of years ago, Farm Show Magazine did kind of an in-depth piece on it when they actually got Mark Underwood in voice talking about it from back in the day. So I just put a link to the video in the blog.
Interesting.
So it's, we'll be watching that one today. Should be interesting.
Seems like something that ought to end up in a museum, Greg. I doubt it. I mean, it's probably not still running, right?
Well, I'm not sure. I know on the sale bill, when you look at it, all the chatter about it on the internet, there was some reference to a couple, I think one tornado in particular around Burr Oak that on the Underwood farm. I don't think the combine itself was severely damaged, but I think it still runs, but you're right. It's sort of, you would think it would be targeted for a museum piece, but one thing I've learned over the years, Clinton, on these unusual items when they show up at auction, I mean, it's the beauty of the auction. It's open to anybody. So
right.
If you want to buy it and stand out driving around your field in Oregon or Minnesota or Texas, you'll get them talking, driving the first bi-rotor combine. So
how
really
cool is it
to see what it brings?
Now, you said it was some family members there that had this dream to build this thing. That's what I love about some of the stuff you come across, Greg, is like you come across some kind of on-farm inventors that made made big changes to stuff through the years.
Yeah, and you do as well, Clint. You do an awesome job with that in your podcast and on Ag Day. And, as we travel the country, and you and I have done a number of pieces for U.S. Farm Report, where sure. when you get a day or two to be in an area and you just settle in there and talk to people, you know, maybe you're covering an auction, maybe you're filming a segment, whatever. But invariably, someone will say, well, you know what, you should go talk to Bill.
Yeah,
and you'll say,
right.
Well, who's Bill? And they'll say, well, Bill did. And the cool part is, I think this is part of our Midwest nature, is that we don't, you know, farmers don't like to blow their own horn, basically. And
right.
dealers don't. Yeah. It's just, so then when, over the years, this innovation just bubbles up from people wanting a better way. And farmers are basically, you know, engineers at heart. And so, yeah, Mark and his cousin Ralph there, they just had a vision and went for it. And then it's interesting. So people were saying, wow, that's a revolutionary machine. Why did that not make it to market
uh-huh.
back in the day? Now, if you look in this case, and I think people can understand the amount of cash and investment that it would take, you know, to even think about ramping up production. So I believe what happened is that they got to a point in the mid-90s, and I think testing was going very well on it, field testing on their XBR2. And at the time, then 17 patents were sold to John Deere. And, you know, that's not uncommon. Deere has bought a lot of technologies over the years, sometimes to jump right in and push forward, other times to maybe, you know, protect market or whatever, which, you know, is a valid business play.
Sure.
But anyway, this thing's up for sale today, open market, and we'll see what, you know, what it's worth and where it's headed. It should be great fun.
Now, you got a couple other things video-wise that you're going to be putting up this week that mm-hmm. are of interest, especially for folks down in the South.
Yeah, we had our Machinery Peak crew down at the Sunbelt Ag Expo a couple weeks back in Moultrie, Georgia, Clinton, and we filmed some feature videos from some of the exhibitors there, so we'll be getting those out this week. And really fun, like you say, to hop around different parts of the country, you know, to talk to dealers, farmers, and also manufacturers. And see what new solutions they're bringing to the market. So keep an eye out for those folks. If you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, you'll see a link to the videos this week. So it should be fun.
Are there any other auctions that you're watching this week that maybe are of note?
Well, there's a couple coming up on November 10th, which I believe is a Saturday. I don't have my calendar right in front of me, but talk about unusual, Clint. Now, one of the most rare tractor models out there is the International 7488, big 2+2 rig. It was made in only 16 of them made back in 1985, right before International went under. It was purchased.
Interesting.
And two of them, how about this? Two of the 16 out there are up for sale on the same day on two different auctions.
Really?
You've got Meekum's Gone Farming in Davenport, Iowa. Has one on Saturday the 10th, and that one I believe looks like brand new. I think the owners, they've done some beautiful restoration type work, and if you just go to meekum.com, you'll find the information. So that's on the 10th, and then also the same day, Weeman Land and Auction, our good friends out of Marion, South Dakota, they're actually across the border having a farm auction in Laverne, Minnesota, right in the southwest part of the state. With a 7488 that's hasn't been restored or anything. It's got 5,439 hours, I think, actual hours on it. Now, I have seen two of these things sold at auction ever,
uh-huh.
Clinton, over my 29 years. The highest one was back on, let's see, what was the date? It was September 9th of 17, farm auction in Refton, Pennsylvania. A 7488 with just under 4,500 hours, about $105,000.
Wow.
And previous to that, the only one I'd seen sold in Williston, North Dakota back October 9th of 13. And that one went for $71,000. And I believe, I'm not positive, but 99% sure that was purchased by my friend Jerry Custer out of Galva, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And folks maybe remember the YouTube video I posted. It was an hour and 5 minute walkthrough of Jerry's International Tractor Collection.
Wow.
If you haven't seen it,
oh,
if you love red tractors, go to YouTube, type in Machinery Pete, Jerry Custer,
okay.
K-U-S-T-E-R, and we hear Jerry talk about it. He's got the first serial number 7288, the first serial number 3588, So, again, but those 274-88s both sell on November 10th. That should be really fun.
Wow, that's fun. So much going on. Hey, stick with us here, Greg. We're going to come back. Looks like we may have a call. We may have a phone call. Someone talking about that bi-rotor combine. So, hey, stick with us. More AgriTalk with Machinery Pete coming up in just a second. We'll be right back.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Control your destiny in a challenging dairy industry at Farm Journal Media's Milk Business Conference, November 5th through the 7th in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. Register today to network with fellow dairy owners at milkbusinessconference.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dallaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dallaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
It's time to get dirt rich with new Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn seed treatment. The increase in microbial activity in the soil helps get more nutrients to the plant, and you get an average 3.8 bushel per acre yield increase over the original Poncho Votivo, all with the trusted insect and nematode protection you're used to. So be dirt rich, because that's smart. Ask your seed dealer for the new Poncho Votivo 2.0 today. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-498-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-498-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-498-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. Any questions?
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk. Clinton Griffiths in the chair today for Chip Flory, joined by Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson. So happy to have you, Greg, as always on a Monday. We have a phone call. Steve in Illinois has called, and he has a question for you about that bi-rotor combine. Go ahead, Steve. You're on AgriTalk.
I was just wondering if that's the combine that came, the twin-rotor New Holland combine.
Well, it's a good question, Steve. It was really interesting when we posted the blog last night and watching this week all the discussion about this bi-rotor. If you go to our Facebook page, just go Machine Repeat on Facebook, and you'll see this blog post last night, a very long discussion thread, just 40 or 50 comments. And some people were referencing different things. I know one person on there mentioned there's a lot of misinformation about the this bi-rotor. And it kind of strikes me, I guess, not unusual when you have a piece like this. There's kind of urban legends around it, but how it pertains to other companies, the New Holland, you know, where they were going with the combine, or what Deere was doing, or International, and even now the new Versatile combine, people commenting on how similar it is there. I guess I don't know for sure, Steve, you know, the connection to New Holland back then. I think if you watch in the blog, you watch that video from Farm Show Magazine, back when Mark was alive, Mark Underwood, he was talking about the machine. And I think that hearing the guy in his voice helped a little bit. And again, from my understanding, was in the mid-90s that Mark and Ralph sold the patents to Deere, and I think actually worked for Deere for a number of years also. So again, the New Holland connection, I'm not sure. That's a very good question. I really wish I could be at the auction today just to hear all the chatter.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting discussion. I like the comment about the urban legend, you know, it being one of those things that, you know, a lot of times...
I guess we should call it a rural legend.
Yeah, well, that's a rural legend. You hear whispers about these things, and trying to track down the real story behind some of this stuff is always pretty interesting. One of the interesting things that you've seen over the weekend was a pretty historic tractor that sold there in Illinois.
Oh, yeah, exactly. On the same topic, Clinton, Saturday, our friends at Almond Auctions, you might know them as by Almond Vintage Power on social media, but they had one of their collector auctions, I believe it was in Nokomis, Illinois. And on this auction, Clinton, was a 1928 John Deere GP. And this tractor, serial number 200211, actually is the first row crop tractor ever made by Deere.
Interesting.
And this thing was up for sale. And of course, Kurt Ahman, you know, what a great company there. You know, his father, Nelson, started years ago, and they're specialists in these collector tractors. And the tractor sold for, the hammer price was $75,000, which is a record price.
Wow.
And then you bump on the buyer's fee, I think it was $78,750. And the cool thing is that we had someone at the sale, Dan McLeod, I know he's a faithful listener to AgriTalk. I'm sure Dan's out there, so big shout out to Dan. He sent me some awesome cell phone video of this John Deere GP selling. So if you go to our website, you can find that video. And again, thanks to Dan. Dan is actually a cousin of Nelson, almond. Now, there were a couple other interesting tractors on the same sale, Clinton.
Oh.
If you're into red tractors, they had a prototype International 885. I think it was an 885, and that brought $21,000. Oh. A prototype 485 that brought $15,750. So, again, going back to that mid-'80s era when International was pushing forward but still, you know, kind of going under at the same time. Also, they had a John Deere 62 tractor go for $24,675.
Wow.
And here's a fun one, Clinton. They had a 1931 Alice Chalmers U that was from the Firestone Test Track. And
really?
That thing sold for $23,100. So, again, that was by our friends at Amman Auction Saturday in Illinois, Clinton.
Are you seeing people continue to, obviously, you're still talking record prices on some of this stuff. There seems to be really strong interest in these classics.
Yeah, the rare classics, absolutely. You know, if there's anything rare about a tractor, you know, from the early days up through into the 80s, absolutely the values are holding to increasing. If you pull back a little bit and you look at tractors from the 40s and 50s, you know, what we think of as antique tractors, overall, I would say at best, value is kind of holding. But based on condition, if they're sort of averagey, kind of need some restoration work, those values, again, might at best be holding. But as we've talked about over the last few years, I think going back almost 10 years now, what's happening is the collector money is shifting into the kind of that 70s, early 80s tractor now. And again, if there's anything rare about them, you know, off the charts interest.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, we're just about out of time on today's AgriTalk, but there's one name, one family that you want to mention real quick. Why don't you tell us?
Yeah, folks maybe mentioned the video and blog and a TV bit I did last spring, Clinton, on Laura Lewis from Marshall, Missouri. Laura's husband, Justin, is the store manager at Ag Power Incorporated in Marshall, Missouri, and they have a young daughter who was 3 years old at the time, Caitlin. Laura has a very rare form of brain cancer, and she's been at the Mayo Clinic and another leading medical institution, and they just haven't been able to find a solution. And we just sent out a note, want some prayers for Laura and Justin. I think they sent her home this week to be with her daughter. So we just want to, you know, send them good thoughts and prayers there, Clinton.
That's absolutely. Plenty of tough days ahead for that family, and we'll be keeping them in their prayers, and hopefully, you know, people out there can be thinking about them. If you know them, say hello. Tell them that you're thinking about them. Greg, as always, we appreciate your insights into the not only the machinery market, but into the people market. The way that you care for others is always something to behold and something we're all striving to match. So I appreciate you there. Hey, folks, be thinking about Chip Flory and his family. They got a lot going on today. We'll be tracking the markets, tracking the news. If you don't catch us here, come back this afternoon. A little more AgriTalk after the bell. We'll see what those markets did. Tyne Morgan's going to be filling in for Chip there. And as always, we hope you're having a great day out in farm country. Remember, be safe, be considerate, think of others, and take a moment for those around you. We'll talk to you later on. Thanks for joining us on AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
Thanks to NK Seeds for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your local NK retailer about adding a science-driven boost to your seed portfolio.